Okay, everybody. This is our 17th week on Christian worldview. What should be different about the way we look at the world, at life? And we're talking this through. And today I am going to talk about something that you have never, ever heard me talk about before. And that is politics. Now, before you drop asleep, it isn't going to be what you think, okay? So, our verse for this series is, do not be conformed to this age. And I just want to say, it starts with, do not. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12 verse 2. There's a bookmark you can run off with. In fact, you can run off with one for you, one for your mates, one for your mother, one for anyone else that's lying around. Because that's a good verse for us to think about, and it's on the bookmark. Okay, well, there's all of this that we've done so far. Last week we talked about the parousia, the return of Jesus Christ, and I commented then that really this is probably the ultimate thing, and this is the way we should really look at all of life, because Jesus is coming back again. And that really is the best news, the most powerful news, and how we face life should be in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming again. But all of the subjects on there you can listen to online at arcchurch.co.uk. So, politics is largely about worldview. Now, we know him, we sort of know her. She led a party that used to be huge and isn't anymore. This man is the man who did lots of silly things in the run-up to the last election, some of them very bold and daring. And this man is the man that we're not quite sure about and we're a bit scared of at sometimes. And this man, I didn't even know what he looked like until I was preparing this and I had to look up, who is the leader of the Green Party? And that's him. So those are the five main leaders of the five main political parties in this country. And they all have a different worldview. Some people say that Keir Starmer is all about the workers, but I'm not so sure about that anymore. Some people say her. What was that? Kemi, right. Some people say Kemi is all about the business. But I'm not actually sure that they are quite about that as much as they used to do. And the Liberals, well, we know that they want everything to be treated with great liberality. They are not very keen on rules. And the Green Party, I think we don't really know much about them, if we're honest. But this man is very, very extremely left-wing. And isn't it amazing that we categorise everybody as right-wing, left-wing, centrist, right of centre, left of centre? It's a very obscure thing that we use. And Mr. Farage, who sounds like he has a French name, but he isn't, people will tell you he's anti-immigration, that is anti lots of things. And the truth is, I don't think any of us really know, because he's never had any power, because we've never given him any power. And I think some of us might feel a little bit uncertain about voting for somebody that we have no experience of. But all of these five people, whatever those generalities I just spoke about them may or may not be part of their worldview, but be certain of this, these five people want to govern our country differently. And they do so out of their particular worldview. Now look, I hope that after 17 weeks, you have got a different worldview to any of them. Because the truth is, I don't think there's any evidence that any of them are Christians. And it would be lovely sometimes to feel the leader of our nation is a Christian. We have had them, and we've had them in recent times. Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was. It May, I'm thinking, or was it May not May? No, it wasn't. Theresa May certainly was a Christian in the way that we would say that. Well, Tony Blair certainly showed leanings, didn't he? And Gordon Brown, they talked about him as being a son of the manse. But Gordon Brown would never have claimed to be a Christian. Boris Johnson said some marvellous things at Easter one year, but I don't think any of us think that he was a Christian. The truth is, we would love there to be Christians in power in our country because we sort of expect more from them. And the truth is, when we look at those five people, I may just be speaking for myself now, but I don't think many of us expect anything from any of them. So, worldview is actually quite critical in politics. Now, in politics today, here are some of the words that I think many of us think about. We've got a chancellor who's made two big mistakes about rental income. She's had two big shocks already. I think had this governing party had a smaller majority, she would have been out with the first one. But she's had two red cards offered to her, and she's still with us. But corruption goes a lot further than that. There are people in the politics who will take money to give you an opportunity in business, to give you an opportunity in various ways. We've been told over the years that people have given money for peerages. I want you to know that I gave nothing for my MBE. Extremism. In politics today, we have moved from having a party that was slightly left of centre and a party that was slightly right of centre, and no one else being relevant almost, to having these five parties that are much more extreme. So we've got a party that we think in Reform, we would think that they would be described as extremely right wing. And the Greens, I think, are embracing the identity of being extremely left wing. And we didn't used to have extreme parties in the UK. And our politics is changing. In America, to which we all must look as being the leaders of the free world, we have got certain extremes in power which can almost take your breath away. And the fact is, across Europe, there are a number of countries right now that are being strongly affected in government either by having a right-wing party or having a coalition that is led by a right-wing party, or they have a coalition of everybody else that is just trying to keep the right-wing party out of power. It's a lot of differences in European politics at the moment. A lot of stress. And extremism isn't just about terrorism. It's about government at the moment. Deceit. Oh, goodness me. Some people say the reason we are where we are is because of deceit in the last Tory government. But the truth is, when I was a young man, a preacher called John Price, who was a lovely man, he said to me, "Stephen, when it comes to the general election, it's a case of one lot of sinners out and another lot of sinners in." And you know, he was very wise. I think that was very wise. Because in the main, we are governed by sinners. And let's not forget, we are all sinners, saved by grace. So, you know, we're not trying to claim to be one up, but my king is bigger than their king. Yeah? So, hidden agendas. Oh, golly gosh. I loved listening to the news when you used to be told what happened. But now you're told what to believe about what happened. And I don't like those news broadcasts. In fact, I find it very, very disturbing that not only am I told something, I am told what it means to me, how I will think about it, and how I should behave because of it. There are people out there with hidden agendas. And don't get me on the BBC, please. But absolute power. What does it do? It corrupts absolutely. That's the trouble with absolute power. And it doesn't matter how good intentions people have when they get into power. Some of them become quite corrupt. And I don't know what we do about it. But when you've got a House of Commons that has a bar open until long after work has finished for the day, where people can run in during the day, have two double whiskies and run back to vote, and then go back for a proper drink afterwards, I don't know. You know, we wouldn't let those people drive home, would we? But we allow them to vote. I think there are so many ways that power corrupts. Regarding the assisted dying bill, many of us wrote to our MPs, and my MP, who's the Outer York guy, he said he is voting for this because the sponsor of the bill was very kind to him. Well, you can't argue with that, can you? He said, I won't entertain any arguments. I don't want to know what you think. He said, I am voting for this because I believe in this woman. One rule for one and one for another. We have what is probably one of the most catchy nicknames for a prime minister at the moment that we've ever had. Two-tier Keir. One rule for one rule for another. I'm not saying it's absolutely justified, but people know that, don't they? It's sunk into the public consciousness. The other day, someone was saying to me something about politics, and they said, well, there's two-tier, of course. They didn't even say two-tier care. It's just two-tier. But we look at things and we see people are allowed to avoid massive amounts of tax because they're an MP. They are allowed to get away with everything but murder because they're an MP. It's so sad. And we have to make sure that we are not stood in a corner being critical. We have to make sure that we are stood on a pedestal showing people how life should be. Amen. We need to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is about. Famous book written by Richard Foster. That is not Roger Forster. And I have to be careful because I get the two mixed up, the two RFs. Richard Foster wrote a book, Money, Sex and Power. I think he wrote it in the 70s. I know it's been published loads of times and it's quite old, but I'll tell you what, that book is really interesting. I think as a young man, I bought that book because it had sex in the title, but it wasn't what I thought it was about. But that book tells you everything about human behaviour. And it says that particularly in government, but in all parts of life, in the church as well, power is often the ultimate aphrodisiac. And people go after money. I grew up in a church where there was a family that ran that church like it was theirs. And only when I was about 30 years old did I find out why. That actually, this family had given all the money to the church to pay for the building of a lovely church. And the pastor took the money and ran away and was never seen again. So they had to pay for it twice. It's good that they had the money to do that. But you can sort of understand why that family didn't want to release control to anybody else. You can sort of understand that. But that isn't really the way it should be done. And whatever happened to that guy, I can't tell you. But I can tell you there are pastors who run away with the money. There are pastors who commit sexual sin. There are pastors that just go off on power and are just... You know, I apologize on behalf of those that have misled the church. I apologize for those that have stood up proclaiming the word of God, but actually they have been on the take. I apologize for those that have brought the name and the kingdom of Jesus into disrepute. And all I can tell you is I try every day to not go there. I pray every day, God have mercy on me. Protect me from such temptations. Because people, we must not allow people like that to be at the helm. We mustn't. And after that, there are some good people in politics. And sometimes people say to me, yes, but where are they? But they are there. And with a little bit of effort, you can find them. For a while, I was very, very fond of a particular person in the particular constituency where I live. And I voted for that person because he was a man of good character. And because when, as a church leader, I wrote to him about things, he would, on occasions, write back to me and say, because of your petition, I have changed my mind and I will no longer support this government's bill. And I found him to be helpful. Now, what am I saying about this? Was this man a Christian? No. Had he been to church? Well, he'd certainly been here. But that man would engage with the church. He would listen. And when the arguments were well put, he would change his mind. And, you know, that is, if we had everybody in the Houses of Parliament who was like that, I think we could have a good government. But the trouble is that people are like this current guy who says he isn't interested in listening. He is just going to support his sponsor. So politics doesn't look that brilliant in our country at the moment. And like I said, there's a lot of countries where politics doesn't look that good. And right now, I would say to you, voting is really important. And you should vote whenever you get the opportunity, because it's a democratic right that has been won by hard work, and we only have it because people gave their lives for it. And, you know, last week we had Remembrance Sunday and we made a big deal of that. And one thing is, we have democracy because people gave their lives to maintain it. I think we should always value that. We should always value that. And so I would say to you, if you have an opportunity to vote, vote. But the problem is, we go to vote, and who do we vote for? Have you done any research? I mean, I can say this now because we're not near an election. Have you done any research into who you may have the opportunity to vote for? Do you know anything about them? Have you ever contacted them? My MP, I used to meet him on the railway station on a Monday morning when he was going down. And if I was going somewhere, I would meet him, and it was always very interesting. And he would say, "Stephen!" And he would come and sit with me and we'd have a chat. That was something. But have you ever made any attempt? I, For One Voice, which is the group of leaders of churches in York that pray together, I was asked to make contact with the City of York Council. This is about, I don't know, 20 years ago. And I made an appointment to see the leader of the council, who was then a Liberal. And I turned up at the said time in a coffee bar, and waiting for me was his assistant. And he said, "I'm sorry, the boss is too busy to come. He sent me." And I said to him, "Well, I'm here to represent the churches in York." And he said, "Oh, don't tell me about the churches in York. I can tell you the name of every vicar." So I said, and that's a problem, is it? He said, "Well, only because all they ever do is write to me moaning." I've never had a church leader ever say anything complimentary about the council or anything that we did. So I went back. Anyway, we made peace. We shook hands. And I went back to One Voice and I said, "Now listen, guys, the first thing we have to start doing is we have to start writing to the council about good things." And I still have to remind them of that sometimes, because it's very easy to complain loudly when we're offended. And it's not as easy to praise softly when we're just mildly happy. But we need to do both. And amazingly, isn't it, that the leader, the Liberal leader of the council, retired at the next election, and his assistant became that new Liberal leader, and one voice started to get a seat at the table. And thank God we still have that with City of York Council. They're being very gracious to us. But of course, so much of that came about through the, if you go back and look at the dates and stuff, it all really started with the great crash of 2008, when all of a sudden the government realised for the first time that the church was providing such a strong network of social services that it needed us. And so they began talking. And I thank God for that. So, today's reading says this: I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings, note the thanksgivings, be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority. That means your local councillor, that means your local MP, that means the Prime Minister, that means the Cabinet, that means the Shadow Cabinet. That means Mr. Farage. That means Mr. Davy. Or it even means that Green MP whose name I've forgotten, who I showed you the picture of. You know, we should pray for these people rather than just be sat in a corner ranting. It's so disappointing when all we do is moan about the government. Let's pray for them. Amen. Let's pray that they have a change of heart. Let's pray that they put down their own bigotry, their own rose-coloured glasses, their own worldview that is anything but Christian. And let's pray that God breaks through. Let's pray that renewal and revival hit the House of Commons. Amen. Peter says this: submit to every human institution because of the Lord. Every human institution you should submit to. So we're talking about every authority. That means HMRC. We need to pray for everybody that is in a position of power over us. Whether to the emperor, two-tier emperor, or to governors, the Lord Lieutenant of Yorkshire. Did you know there was one? Yes. I had a letter from her this year. She does exist. For it is God's will that you, by doing good, silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, have you ever read that in your Bible before? Your job, God has given you this job, and you should try and do this job to the best of your ability, is silence fools. Silence ignorant people. Now, you've been sat like I have, having a rant, but actually your job is to silence them. What? By shouting at them? No. By doing good. That's how you silence ignorant fools. And that's what the Bible says. And did you ever know it was there? Well, I'm telling you it's there. It's up on the screen in big enough letters. I've put those letters in bold so you might even just comprehend it. As God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use your freedom to as a way to conceal evil. Honour everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the emperor. Honour the emperor. That means if Mr. Starmer was to walk in today, you should welcome him, shake his hand and give him a bit of respect. He's in charge. Show respect. You don't have to get down on your knees and worship him, because you shouldn't ever do that. But we do have to show respect. Bias. or you might call it bias, if you want to conceal what it is you're talking about. Right. 1101101. That's a number I have memorised 22 years ago when we became a registered charity. It's what we are. Legally, we are a registered charity. 1101101. If you want to find out more about us as a registered charity, you go to charitycommission.org.uk. You go to that and you type in, it says search, you go 1101101 and it comes up with the Ark Church. Or you can type in Ark York and it will come up with 1101101. Whatever it is, you will find about us. And that's important. I do believe it's important to be a registered charity. And I could just say because we get 25% back from the government, which is a real blessing that we still have that in our day, and we should always thank God for that. But so important that we have an accountability for our behaviour. And we can't just do crazy things. We are good stewards of the money that comes into this church, and we do well with it. But we also make sure that good accounting is followed, because that is a requirement of being a registered charity. So, political comments and campaigning are not allowed because, as a charity, we are not a political charity. We are a church. And if you look what our aims and goals are as a charity, you'll find they're very wide. But they're not supportive of a political party. And during election campaigns, we get a note from the Charity Commission reminding us there is about to be an election in the United Kingdom. We would like to remind you that you should not endorse candidates. You should not endorse parties. And actually, that's good. It's appropriate, because I endorse one candidate every week of the year. His name is Jesus, and I want you to support his kingdom, not necessarily the United Kingdom, of which I am pleased to be a part and I am grateful for. But I am much happier to be a resident in God's kingdom, and that ought to be what we're supporting. So the pulpit needs to avoid political bias, right? You get that? Political bias is common in our upbringing. It really is. We have to learn to understand that our parents might have some good guidance for us, but sometimes we need to make adjustments because the parties have adjusted. We should always ask ourselves, what is our bias, and is it justified, and is it still justified? The truth is, this Labour Party now is nothing remotely similar to the Labour Party that was in government when my father died. The truth is that they are a different group. The Conservatives are so different. The Liberals are different. They're all different. We never had a Reform Party or a Green Party in those days. But we need to try and say, let's put our political bias to one side. Because actually, when we're thinking about voting, we should always ask ourselves, not what is better for me, but we should ask what is better for society. And I am saying society. And we should also ask what is more kingdom-like. Because when you vote for Mr. Starmer, we are voting for people and what they represent. And we should always ask God, God, where should I vote? We really ought to ask. And what, not what party is worth supporting, but what party is more kingdom-like? Now, whose kingdom? When you are getting ready to vote, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is really tough because some politicians seem to promote ideas that are contrary to God's kingdom, and sometimes they more support of the prince of the power of the air than they do the King of Kings. And it's very difficult. We don't always see, we don't always know. We don't know what's going to come out from under the rug. We really don't. So we have to have priorities. Now, these priorities I'm just going to offer to you now, they're not necessarily my priorities, but these are common priorities in the church. Life issues, well, you know, it would be good, I think, in our day, that the abortion time limit was reduced. Now, as a Christian, would I like to see an end to the death of 250,000 babies a year? Yes, I would. But right now, maybe a step in the right direction would be good. What about the poor? We need to do something about the poor. You could say to me, the reason the poor is that they've got into debt over buying drugs and we shouldn't fund the habit. Now listen, guys. I know that. I know that that often happens. But also, people have mortgages, and these days, 1 month out of work and you're in arrears. And you start getting letters saying that you're going to evict you from your home. Is don't always put everybody in the same basket. I talk to the guy who runs Food Bank for York. He's a lovely Christian guy. I think Food Bank does a fantastic job. I see people going in, and he sees people going in who are getting their groceries from Food Bank so all their money can go on drugs. And he knows that. But they've got kids. And shouldn't somebody make sure those kids have got something to eat? Let's not always blame people. Let's see how we can bless them. What about peace? One thing about our national forces is that they enforce peace and they are a deterrent to other people to attack us. So much of the time of our army, our navy, our air force, is they are intervening in existing situations to defend people and keep them safe on the ground. And particularly the army, there's so many of them are out there training people to defend themselves. They're out there trying to stop attacks. And whether or not you think there should be an army, well, if they aren't there, who does that? So much feeding in famine situations is made possible because of our army working for the United Nations. And, you know, this is all part of the story. Welcoming the foreigner. Now, listen, I recognize that at any time now, someone might pick up a stone to throw at me. Because as a nation, we are not in a good place in our attitude to welcoming foreigners. And possibly that's because we've done a lot of it and we've had regrets. But let me tell you, I am so glad that we've got Jude and his family and Duca and Bethel and their family. I am so glad that we've got Alan and Anna and Jayam and Madhu And all the others, Christiana, so many of us, thank God that we've got them in our nation. Thank God for the good people that we receive and that we are blessed by. And they enrich our lives. And I'm personally very glad for every one of them. Do we let in some of the wrong folk? Well, do you know why? Because there are wrong folk and good folk in every bunch. But we need to understand that the Bible tells us this. Now, this is not your pastor. This is the Bible says, welcome the foreigner. And you say, they're illegal. They're illegal immigrants. Welcome the foreigner. Welcome the stranger. But the strange. Yes, the strange. We need to welcome them. There's got to be a way we can walk this line without tripping up. And I'm not saying I have the answer, but I am saying this. My Bible tells me, welcome the stranger. We need to do that. Caring for orphans and widows. James, this is the half-brother of Jesus, he says, this is what religion's all about. Looking after orphans and widows. And how often do we really ever do anything about it? Let me suggest to you, that ought to be on our priority list. Crime and punishment. People say, well, you know, well, we don't want to put everybody in prison, do we? But having deterrence against crime, there's some benefit in that. Capital punishment. If we went round this room today, we could break into war amongst us over who wants capital punishment back and those that don't. And I've got to be honest with you, I have been this and that side of that argument. And I'm not quite sure that every day of the week I'm still on the same side, because I understand both sides. And my wife used to work in a prison where prisoners would tell her that they would rather have been shot than be in prison for 20 years. These are big decisions. We have to decide what side we're on. And our worldview has got to allow us to take the journey that says, I think this is what Jesus would do. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Those rubber rings that people put on their wrists. We need to think about that. Okay, we're nearly there. Freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Wouldn't that be on any Christian's list? You say, well, I don't want the Muslims to have freedom of religion. You can't have it for one and not for the other. We need to be able to have freedom. Now, I want you all to start praying about March for Jesus. That happened in the 80s and the 90s, all over the place. It started in London and rolled out from the country. I want you to start praying with me that we can get March for Jesus going again in our nation. I believe it is time for the return of March for Jesus. Do you know, two months ago, they had 25,000 Christians march through Paris for Jesus. Can you believe that? The most secular nation on earth, and they had 25,000 Christians march through the centre of Paris. Did you see that on the news? No, neither did I, because it wasn't on. Because our wonderful news service doesn't believe that's important. I look at that and I say, now that's important. Particularly in a country where new churches are opening at a rate of knots. Weighed in the balances. So, on that list, out of 10, how many points would you give our government? I don't want to know. But if you're about to vote, maybe you need to take your list. Maybe you need to keep a list of priorities. And maybe you need to go down the list and put a score. And that might help you decide how you should vote. When you say, Lord, help me to write a vote in the right place, that doesn't mean you close your eyes and put a cross somewhere on the paper. That isn't what that means. Would you support a political party that is pro-abortion until birth if they ticked all the other boxes? I picked out an extreme point there, but you know, if a party wanted everything that you did, but on that one thing they didn't, who would you vote to vote? Who would you pick? Would you pick someone that supported half of what you want to do? Or these days, if they support 10% of what you want to do, it's more like it. What about the character of the candidate? Are they any good? Are they nice? Are they kind? What about the character of the party leader? You're not electing someone to be your pastor. You're electing someone to lead the nation. This is a nation that is not a theocratic nation. But you have to still pray, because we as Christians need to apply our Christian worldview to our nation. Right, now this is really quick because it's taking me longer than I thought. Christians in Parliament is an all-party group, and they do all of this. Look, Bible study, prayer groups, one-to-one contact, chapel services, speaker events, discussion groups. This all takes place in the House of Commons regularly. If you go on their website, you can see the timetable for this quarter. They have policy discussions and briefings informed by the Bible and Christian theology. And now the new one is they organise a national parliamentary prayer breakfast. It's the Americans do that, of course, but we're copying it. Right, Christians in Parliament. You have to pay to be a member. How many people do you think pay? 33 members of the House of Commons. That's 5%, I think. 5% of the House of Commons are paid up members of Christians in Parliament. Christians in Parliament also applies to the House of Lords. 47 members of the House of Lords are members of Christians in Parliament. So you have got 80 people there who say they are Christians and are willing to pay, and they put in lots more to fund all the things they do. There was a song when I was in the 80s. I was just married when this song came out. I'd love to sing it to you, but you wouldn't appreciate it. But a politician next door swore he'd set the Washington Arena on fire, thinks he'll gladiate them, but they're going to make him a liar. Well, he's a good old boy who was born and raised in the buckle of the Bible Belt. But remember, when you step into your voting booth, he'll never lie, he'll just embellish the truth. Promises were made to be broken, right? You've got to play the game to win. When you need supporting, tell them that you're whatever happens to see. What should I do? Right. Try to put aside your personal bias and pray about the political issues and the players. Pray for Christians in Parliament to be salty. Pray for charities that offer parliamentary briefings or advocacy. The Evangelical Alliance, they do a fantastic job. As a church, we are members. As a person, I am a personal member. Pauline is as well. Let me encourage you, they are a great group. Care are absolutely fantastic. They work in all sorts of spheres, and they also work presenting to parliamentary Christians. The Christian Institute, well, they do a lot of stuff as well. If I had to just pick two, it would be the EA and CARE. But the Christian Institute offer a valuable thing to do. Here's the last possibility. How about joining a political party? Think about it. I'm not saying you should, but what I'm saying is, if three people joined the Labour or the Conservative Party in York, that might increase the number of votes there by 50%. Three people could make the difference. That could make the difference to who was picked as a candidate. It could make the difference to what you talk about in the room. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm saying think about it. It's an important point. But more than anything, we should remember who is king. Right. So, don't expect us to be involved in political bias or endorsements. You're not going to hear that from the front. Okay? Do expect us to remind you to pray. When an election's coming up, I'm going to say, you need to pray. You need to vote. Because we should. And we will encourage you to vote because, personally, I believe in that. Will you pray with me? Father, we ask you right now that you might wonderfully move in our hearts. Would you lift our eyes that we might see above personal bias, that you would help us to always, always, always remember that you are King, and to pray that your kingdom comes on this earth. Lord, you told us that wonderful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and it says, pray, let your kingdom come. We know that you would never have told us to do that if your kingdom had come. You told us to do that so that your kingdom might come. Help us to be agents of your kingdom now and forevermore. Amen.